Hey friend, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. I'm so excited that you've decided to take some time out of your day to join me and tune in. I hope you find this podcast uplifting and empowering. Let's get to it. Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am thrilled to have you join us for this conversation today. I am joined by Dr. David Brillstrom. He is an autoimmune functional doctor, and this is a conversation that I am very, very excited about. Welcome, Dr. Brillstrom.
Oh, thank you for having me, Emily.
So let's dive right in. Let's not waste any time at all. And could you share a little bit of what brought you into autoimmune functional medicine?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So originally my area of specialty was in spinal cord injury rehabilitation. So everybody that I would see would be either paralyzed from the waist down, paralyzed from the neck down. But it taught me of these tremendous gaps in treating chronic health issues with just the traditional methods. Mm-hmm. And then when our son developed this debilitating health issue as a kid and nobody could help him, I really had no choice but to go out there and search for and find the answers for him. And then his recovery was so remarkable that I decided to become an expert in my own private practice outside Chicago in reversing and preventing all autoimmune and chronic disease. But then when I read this amazing article in the New York Times about this fabulous journalist, though, who was losing her, not only her career, but her life to lupus, I really figured that I got to take this 20 plus years, at that point, 20 plus years of experience onto a bigger stage and let people know that having lupus or any autoimmune disease or any chronic disease is not a life sentence, or as the case may be, oftentimes, unfortunately, like a death sentence, and let people know that there's a solution to this whole epidemic of chronic health issues. And it really involves getting at the root cause of why the body's out of whack, why the immune system is disrupted. And then I knew I had to capitalize on this huge growth, though, if we're going to do this. It is the huge growth in medical tourism worldwide. We had to develop a program that was so unique and so needed worldwide that people would be willing to travel pre-COVID to see us in person from around the world. But one of the things that was a positive out of COVID is now we have telehealth. So we're fortunate enough now to see people from not only every state in the country, but actually 16 time zones around the world, helping people understand why they get these health issues, including childhood trauma is a huge one, and what can be done to reverse the process, get people healthy again, but also ideally put them in a position where then they don't still keep getting chronic health issues one after the other as time goes on. And then ultimately seeing kids and helping them at young enough ages that not only do we set them up for health long-term, but by optimizing epigenetics, turning off bad genes and turning on good genes in every cell in our body, not only can we get kind of everything going the right way at the same time, but then when people that have been helped and optimized their epigenetics before they have their own children, they're actually going to pass on cleaner genes the next 6 to 8 generations. So we're making changes that are generational so that we prevent disease before it even starts in future generations. But these things that have an adverse impact on our epigenetics, like childhood trauma, are so profoundly difficult for the body, but we know how we can help people when this happens.
Yeah, I love that. Working on your epigenetics now can impact generations down the line. That is powerful.
Isn't it? The body is amazing.
Oh, it definitely is. So Let's break it down just in case somebody who's listening doesn't know specifically what an autoimmune disease is. What is an autoimmune disease?
Yeah, so ideally, our immune system has two major parts. One of them is called the adaptive immune system, and that's where the immune system makes antibodies against specific things that are not us and that are going to try to hurt us. Mm-hmm. So like if you get a cold virus or any kind of infection in us, it's not us, it's only going to hurt us. So the immune system will make antibodies to attack that infection, get it out of our body as quick as possible. So like if you get a cold virus in and you're feeling this cold symptoms, well, you don't want to have the cold symptoms for 25 years. Mm-hmm. You want to have it for 3 to 4 days, get it out, be done with it. Thank you, immune system, for kicking that dude out of the neighborhood. He was just not mm-hmm. going to do anything but cause trouble. But, and the body does the same thing like with cancer cells. So if one of our cells turns to a cancer cell, it no longer is us. It is only going to try to hurt us. So the immune system is part of what dives in and kills that cancer cell before it ever has a chance to multiply and grow to the point where somebody's told they got cancer. Mm-hmm. But for a variety of reasons, but we know what these reasons are, is the immune system becomes confused and it actually starts making antibodies attacking our own body parts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like we're self-destructing, and kind of a rule of thumb is it's never going to be a good idea to self-destruct. That's mm-hmm. always a tad counterproductive for our health, is to be self-destructing. And so even though there's hundreds of different names for autoimmune diseases based on what body parts being attacked, it truly mm-hmm. is one disease that can attack any body part. But this is why it's so important to identify when it is part of this health issue already and then make it go away. Because if you don't, it's just, you're just going to start attacking a second body part and a mm-hmm. third and a fourth and a fifth. And you'd be amazed at how many kids and women in their 20s already have like 5 to 6 autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. It is crazy. Now, the other part of the immune system is called the innate immune system. And it, we are now learning, is incredibly important in getting away the excessive inflammation that will drive chronic disease as well. So if the inflammation is not caused by the immune system attacking body parts of antibodies,
mm-hmm.
the chronic disease immune system issue is making it hard for the body to get rid of the inflammation. And this is mm-hmm. where we now know that autoimmune and immune system dysregulation is not only involved in all the classic autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, psoriasis, all this, but it's mm-hmm. also a huge part of heart attacks, strokes, Alzheimer's, dementia, osteoporosis. There's even autoimmune type 2 diabetes, not just the one that kills the cells and make insulin, and then you have to use an insulin pump, but also the type 2 where you get this insulin resistance. It actually got an autoimmune component to it. So it's really tied into so many chronic diseases. And if you look at the top 10 reasons why women die, this immune system dysregulation and the hormone regulation dysregulation that goes with it, for example, probably accounts for about 90% of all the reasons why women actually die. It is so common a driver of chronic disease, including especially in women. Thus, we're basically kind of trying to change the way that healthcare is done for women and children mm-hmm. around the world.
Yeah. So what is the link between childhood trauma survivors and autoimmune disease? What is the thing that makes childhood trauma survivors more susceptible to developing autoimmune disease?
Yeah, and that's, so when you look at stress to the body,
mm-hmm.
The body doesn't matter what kind of stress. It could be emotional stress, physical stress, spiritual stress.
Mm-hmm.
So we might kind of say, hey, if I am walking around the house in my bare feet and I kick a chair leg
mm-hmm.
and I have this incredible toe pain and I'm hopping around in terrible toe pain, that's physical stress.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that people tend to do is they have such confidence innately in their body's ability to heal that they go, well, I'm hopping around in terrible pain, but I'm not going to be in terrible toe pain for 20 years. I know my mm-hmm. body's going to fix this quickly. A couple minutes, pain's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I just try not to do that again, because boy, did that hurt. But then we also have emotional stress.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say you're driving in a raging snowstorm, you're white knuckling it on the steering wheel, it's emotional stress. You get home, you're like, oh my gosh, I made it home alive. Well, that was emotional stress. Well, childhood trauma is tremendous emotional stress, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And any excessive stress, physical, emotional stress, will throw off the stress hormone cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
And they call cortisol the forgotten hormone because everybody forgets about it. But it technically, truly is the only hormone we cannot live without. If we have the disease, Addison's disease, we have no cortisol production, we're dead. You may not have hardly any thyroid hormone and feel like you're almost dead. But with the cortisol, you're actually dead without it. But everybody forgets about it. But it's mm-hmm. a super central mechanism in disruption of the entire system. So when the stress hormone cortisol gets kicked up into the stress mode, not only does it make it incredibly difficult for the body to keep away inflammation of a pre-chronic disease, because cortisol, ideally, when it goes up, down, up, down, up, down, like stub your toe, white knuckling mm-hmm. on the steering wheel, cortisol will convert to cortisone, which is a steroid hormone our body makes to get rid of inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And in medicine, we use a ton of different steroids, but to get rid of inflammation. Well, here's a cream. We'll shoot it up your nose. We'll give it to you for your asthma.
Mm-hmm.
We'll shoot your knee with it. We'll give you prednisone. It gets rid of inflammation. But when cortisol gets stuck in the stress mode, you've had such profound physical or emotional stress that you actually get stuck in the stress mode,
mm-hmm.
hypercortisolism, the cortisol becomes very inefficient at being able to convert itself to the cortisone to mm-hmm. get rid of inflammation. So we start getting all this inflammation inherently, the cortisol disruption. But then stress nails the gut. You know, if people mm-hmm. have had like a big test at school or some big stress, you know, it's like gurgle, gurgle, or run to the bathroom mm-hmm. or something like this. The stress always nails the gut. And then the gut is such a central mechanism along with cortisol disruption in everything that drives chronic disease. So when the gut gets thrown off, we can't digest our food and get the nutrients out. We get nutrient mm-hmm. deficient. Without mm-hmm. these vitamins and minerals, our body can't make things, fix things, be happy and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
When the gut's off, because 80% of the immune system surrounds the gut, it throws off the immune system directly, and we can't keep away the infections that drive chronic disease. So mm-hmm. there's certain infections that give us obvious disease, high fevers. We know we got an infection like a cold. There's mm-hmm. other infections such as like Epstein-Barr virus, herpes virus 6, mycoplasma, these kind of things that drive chronic disease. And the gut soft throws out the immune system, suppresses the immune system, and cortisol being stuck in the stress mode also suppresses the immune system. So then we get these infections in, we call them the invisible infections, that drive all chronic disease, not just autoimmune disease, but we now know it's all chronic disease. And then the gut's off, can't balance hormones. Here come these hormone imbalances that drive chronic mm-hmm. inflammation, chronic disease. And then ultimately, because the gut is such a huge central mechanism in detoxification, all these toxins start to accumulate in our system.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that our cells make, toxic byproducts of metabolism, got to get those dudes out. They're really toxic, such as in women, a really big problem is the inability to clear toxic old estrogens from the system mm-hmm. that accumulate, creating the hormone imbalance. Is probably part of, well, it's one reason why 80% of people that get autoimmune disease is women. But also then these environmental toxins that get into our system nowadays, because mm-hmm. we live in such a toxic world, leads, mercury, arsenics, cadmiums, pesticides, herbicides, flame mm-hmm. retardants, they get in, we can't get them out, they accumulate, and they're incredibly toxic to not only the brain, but the immune system, and then chronic disease in general. So this stuck in the stress mode of cortisol from the childhood traumas just produces this cascade of events that you'd like to say starts creating disease years and years later, but they also know that children with only two adverse childhood events by age 3 have a 80% chance of getting obese by age 8.
Mm-hmm.
So it even drives childhood obesity a couple years after the things happen. It's not like 20 years later you get the stuff. It starts hitting the system bad right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In my experience, I remember my first experience during my trauma of having acid reflux or heartburn or whatever you'd like to call it was when I was like 6 or 7 years old, in the midst of when things were really, really bad. And that was my gut letting me know.
Yeah.
That was my gut letting me know, hey, we're stressed out here.
So that's a good example of how that stress always nails the gut.
So what do we give attention to first? Do we first give attention to lowering the cortisol level, or do we focus on our gut health? Or is it tango?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I think one thing that we want to start with, and you are doing this, and I so applaud you, is people don't talk about this stuff. People don't talk about these adverse childhood and childhood trauma driving chronic health issues in kids and adults. And so, and it's not just a U.S. problem. This is a worldwide problem. When I was asked to speak at an integrative cancer care conference in Casablanca, Morocco, back in March, my wife, Jody, who's a licensed clinical social worker, psychotherapist, and she specializes in the adverse childhood events, childhood trauma, and this impact on health and how to reverse it, she was going to talk with us. And so I've talked a ton around the world in conferences. My wife, Jody, even though she's so much more outgoing than I am, she doesn't like to talk in front of people, but she really feels passionate about this as well. So she was willing to stand up and talk. And so we talked, we answered questions on the stage afterwards. And then after our time was done, we walked out and people followed us out to ask additional questions. Well, she shared with me later that she kind of thought everybody was going to peel off to ask me and nobody would peel off to ask her. But truly, it was like 80% peeling off to talk to Jody, because they're like, oh my gosh, here we are. And these are French speaking conferences for people in North Africa and the European Union. They don't talk about this in Europe. They don't talk about this in North Africa. They don't talk about this in the United States. Nobody is talking about how this stuff drives chronic health issues. And they were so pleased that somebody was willing to, was starting to talk about that. And so this is where I applaud you for doing this, because nobody's going to do anything if we don't talk about this and let it be known that this drives it. So you're right. So by the time, because the body's so smart, by the time we start getting these health issues, even the ones that are kind of obvious and come pretty quick, like you're talking about the reflux, it's already a bunch of stuff happening at the same time. If one thing happens, the body's got it covered. Two things happen, body's got it covered. Three, four, yikes, five. And then, but it builds pretty quickly. And so you always want to address the physical stressors that are currently creating stress and cortisol disruption by the time people start working on this stuff. So the physical stressors would be, okay, we need to identify what infections have gotten into by driving chronic inflammation, whether it's infections that are going to the brain, creating all the brainy stuff, you know, memory, concentration, depression, anxiety, bipolar, schizophrenia, seizures, migraines, whatever it is, brainy stuff, or it could be causing fatigue or muscle pain or joint pain or gut symptoms or skin issues. Well, let's identify what infections are possible or are doing this. Easy to do in a blood test, easy to do on a stool test called the digestive stool analysis, but maybe not the easiest to get rid of. So there's something we use for just about everybody called pH structured silver solution, which is a nano silver that will get rid of any infection, no matter where it is in your body, no matter what kind you got, whether we know it's there or not. So even if we can't run tests, we know it's there, we got to get rid of the infections. Fortunately, because of the water component, I'm super geeking out. I don't want to make anybody bored, but super geeking on the biophysics of water molecules, not the biochemistry, biophysics, which is super geeky, actually gets rid of inflammation and helps damaged tissue heal, whether it's brain, gut, all this other kind of stuff. And then you want to address vitamin deficiencies, and you can easily do a blood test to see which ones you got and which ones need to be addressed. You can easily find out what foods are bothering, because that gut disruption creates food sensitivities. And so people will notice that they might be getting immediate hypersensitivity reactions to foods where they say, geez, every time I eat this food, I just don't feel good. You know, whether it's, you know, ice cream gives me gas, whether it's kids with peanut allergies, whatever it is, it all comes from a gut disruption. And actually this part of food sensitivities, immediate hypersensitivity reactions to foods, people can figure this out better than any test we have. So mm-hmm. much better than a skin test. Skin tests are really not very helpful. They're good when you want to check out for cat dander and pollen issues, but not for foods. But then you got these delayed hypersensitivity reactions mm-hmm. to foods, where you eat the food and it's only the protein that does this. But that protein in a certain food stays in your system for weeks or longer after you eat it, keeps circulating. Well, all of a sudden, days or weeks after you eat it, it whacks you with mm-hmm. inflammation. Now, if you don't know it's bugging you, this inflammation grows, creating chronic health issues, right? And mm-hmm. people will go say something such as, oh my gosh, where's all this stuff coming from? You know, I'm feeling like I'm 150 and I'm only like 40. Mm-hmm. It's gotta be something. I know this is coming from someplace, but I know it's not what I'm eating because nothing makes me feel sick. Well, it doesn't make you feel sick in the obvious way. It mm-hmm. makes you feel sick in this sneaky way, the delayed hypersensitivity reaction. So this is where there's a couple health issues where we can say, oh, I know this food or that food's bugging. If you got enough brainy stuff to get in the way of stuff, you got a delayed hypersensitivity mm-hmm. reaction to the wheat proteins, 62 mm-hmm. different kinds, gluten's one. If you have autoimmune disease, you got wheat proteins and cow's milk dairy proteins. Mm-hmm. Butter's okay because it's not a protein. It's actually unbelievably great for gut health. And we get to that, I can explain that. But if you have recurrent cold sores, you've got a wheat issue. You have acne as an adult, you got a wheat issue.
Mm-hmm.
You're a teenager with moderate to severe acne, you got a wheat issue and most likely cow's milk dairy issue. So mm-hmm. you can kind of know a couple of these things, but truly it could be any food bothering you, including a food that you're eating only because you think it's healthy for you, right? Like mm-hmm. Brussels sprouts or broccoli. Geez, I mean those to be healthy. It doesn't seem to be healthy. And we do testing for these foods that bug us sneaky and they go, holy cow, that stuff's killing me. I thought I was just eating it because it was healthy for me and it's actually killing me. So this is where you hear things like these food sensitivity tests that mm-hmm. you can get online and test with a little finger prick. Mm-hmm. You can't do it in a local clinic or hospital. They just don't know how to do it, but you can do a little finger prick and it can tell you like 96 different foods they'll test and you can pinpoint which ones are bugging you how much. Temporarily get rid of them because you can fix them. Mm-hmm. As long as you can fix the gut and cortisol, you can fix the food sensitivities. So once somebody feels great, there's a good chance you fix most of these guys. And then as you're getting rid of these different kind of things, including a big driver that I alluded to is when the hormone symphony, particularly in women, gets thrown off, women develop something called estrogen dominance.
Mm-hmm.
And estrogen is too high compared to progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
And estrogen dominance, I call it the most dangerous disease for women because it does truly account for about 90% of all the reason why people mm-hmm. women die. So it will show up as all the hormonal menstrual stuff. So any woman with bad flows, bad cramps, PMS, ovarian cysts, PCOS, fibroids, endometriosis, fibrocystic breast disease, infertility, that is all estrogen dominance. But because estrogen revs and progesterone calms, you get excessive worry, anxiety, mm-hmm. panic attacks, nightmares, insomnia from this estrogen dominance. So whenever you see any of that stuff, you know you have estrogen dominance, but also this is a huge disruptor of the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
One reason why 80% of people that get autoimmune diseases are women, but also, and this is tied into kind of this connection between adverse childhood events and cancer, is women with estrogen dominance before menopause have a 5.4 times greater risk of getting breast cancer
mm-hmm.
before menopause. Not double the risk or triple or 5.4 times the greater risk of breast cancer before menopause. And a 10 times greater risk lifelong of malignant cancers, the ones that start one place and metastasize other places. And so it's so vitally important to identify what these hormonal menstrual rev without calm things represent, fix it, because always fixable, long mm-hmm. before it ever gets to cancers and all this kind of stuff. But this is where this cortisol disruption does all this. And then, so now you figured out the physical stressors. Now you're getting rid of them. So now cortisol has to reset.
Mm-hmm.
But what often happens, so typically kind of mid-teenage years or older, you want to use a specific supplement to help cortisol reset. They call them adrenal adaptogens. So things mm-hmm. like ashwagandha, rhodiola, cordyceps, you know, this kind of stuff.
They're godsends, friend.
Oh my gosh, godsend. They're so cool, aren't they? But what we tend to find is that the body's been stuck in the stress mode so long, even when we get rid of these physical stressors, we start getting rid of them, and we go, okay, cortisol, time for you to reset, time to find that chill mode, that chillax mode. The cortisol goes, what are you talking about? And we're like, well, you know,
I don't know what you're talking about.
And we're like,
I don't know what to do.
But I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've been stuck here so long. I have no clue what you mean when you talk about calm. And we go, oh my gosh, that's right. We got to teach you what calm feels like again. So this is where things like meditation, repetitive prayer, deep breathing, progressive muscle relaxation, getting out in nature, all this kind of stuff teaches cortisol what calm feels like, because then that way you start resetting cortisol, and then your body can fix anything once you start resetting the cortisol. But so many people forget about this, getting rid of the physical stuff, and this is where people will say things like, geez, you know, I meditate, I get out in nature, I do all this stuff, and I'm not sure it's helping. But when we do that stuff, is so profound, and it works through epigenetics, flipping genes on and off in every cell in the body, can fix anything. They go, gosh, I just don't seem to be getting the bang for my effort. Well, you really can't meditate your way out of infection, for example. And so as we get rid of these physical stressors, though, now it can work like it's supposed to. But it is so profound an intervention that when we do blood tests, for example, and look for exactly what's causing this physical stress, it is always incredible that we see things that will never be good by the time we see them. But they're great because this person's been doing their meditation, their deep breathing, you know, their counseling, they're working with the therapist, they got, you know, nature on their side and all this kind of stuff. We'll see so many things that are good. We go, oh my gosh, look at this fantastic foundation you set by doing all that. It was not for naught. Wow, you got this amazing foundation set. All we got to do is get you over the hump and off you go, and your body just starts taking care of things. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing what your body can do when you offer it the support that it needs.
And you can't do it without it. And we can get rid of all this physical stuff, but if you don't reset cortisol, you can't get the body in a healing position. It's so important. Yeah. You can't do one without the other, kind of a thing.
Yeah. So addressing the physical stressors, infection, bringing down your cortisol and teaching it what calm feels like, because once your stress response has been stuck in the on position for goodness knows how long, it forgets. It knows what it's been used to feeling, and it forgets what calm feels
it's
like.
Been so long since it's felt calm. Yeah.
When you're in that space of always waiting for the other shoe to fall, survival, you forget what calm feels like. And then addressing emotional stressors as well, I would imagine, is huge in addressing the physical.
Absolutely. This is where like counseling can be so helpful, or, you know, support groups, you know, having close friends you can talk about stuff with. Because you can kind of problem solve and figure out these emotional stressors that are also creating stress to the system, and how so we kind of talk about when we ask people to see a counselor, my wife Jody, for example, we talk about how, you know, this person with these health issues and all this stuff's going on in their life, they're really navigating through a minefield. And boy, is it challenging to navigate your way through a minefield, and having somebody to talk to, like a counselor who's really in tune with these adverse childhood events and all this kind of stuff, can really help you navigate through the minefield. And what we tend to find, though, is people assume that you have to like revisit all these childhood traumas if you're ever going to be able to kind of get through the other side. But truly, that's not kind of how it tends to work. With patients, I kind of use this kind of explanation. So any strong emotional event creates physical change in the body. All right. So like, if you see a really scary movie, your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up, your eyes dilate, it's creating physical change. But then when the movie's over, it all goes away, right? But adverse childhood events are physical stressors, emotional stressors drive physical change, but then the physical change is still there years or decades later. You see a scary movie, you don't need to have the physical change decades later. You might think back and go, wow, I remember that scary movie, it freaked me out. That's not creating physical changes later. So you don't necessarily have to go back. What you got to do is disconnect, though, the the physical changes from a strong emotional event from now, just disconnect mm-hmm. them. And then they don't drive chronic disease any longer. And you mm-hmm. put your body in a position then to get rid of all this stuff.
Yeah, you have to address the trigger and untrigger it.
Make sure it's not a trigger any longer.
Yeah, untrigger it. So what are one or two tips that you can share with our listeners today that they can use to help address the physical stressors to help reset their cortisol levels?
Sure. So on my website, which is drdavidbilstrom.com, we have four different types of courses, two for non-medical people, two for medical people. So one is called, is a free educational online email course, and it's called Medical Bill Detox. And seven emails, each one takes a deep dive into the central mechanisms that drive chronic disease and what people can do to reverse them, including the very first email is all about epigenetics, flipping genes mm-hmm. on and off, how they get flipped the wrong way. We feel crummy in so many different ways, to flip them the right way. And then there's also a more advanced course called Autoimmune Hope. And then when people go through that course, they also, besides a lot of other benefits, that we do monthly Q&As for people around the world, parents of children with this stuff, adults with this stuff, medical practitioners are asking questions, we're answering them. And then my book called The Nurse Practitioner's Guide to Autoimmune Medicine, Reversing and Preventing All Autoimmune Disease, but also Chronic Disease, is really a book not only for medical people, but it's also for lay people, because we say, this is why this stuff happens. This is exactly what tests you do. This is exactly how you can actually even order the test yourself if you don't mm-hmm. have somebody close to you that knows this stuff. And then also how to interpret the labs, like, mm-hmm. oh, here's these infections that I just knew how to test for. What do I do for it? Such as the pH structure silver solution, and then step-by-step guide for this kind of stuff. Now, in a perfect world, what we're trying to do, we're trying to educate nurse practitioners on mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff, because we would love to have a nurse practitioner in every community in the country around the world who knows all about all of this, including the adverse childhood events, childhood mm-hmm. traumas, impact on health. They can get at it right away before it develops mm-hmm. or reverse it once it does. And so this is where we're trying to train, because nurse practitioners inherently in their training are more holistically trained than medical docs. Even mm-hmm. though medical docs can do great stuff, they don't tend to think along these lines so much. If you don't have a medicine or a surgery, we don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. But nurse practitioners inherently are more holistically minded, but also they're taught in their training to focus more on the person than the disease. Mm-hmm. Because what you want to focus on is the person with the health issue, not so much the health issue. Because if you focus mm-hmm. on the person with the health issue, you can get rid of the health issue, right?
Yes.
And so this is information for non-medical people, how they can do it themselves. This is information for medical people, how they can become the local expert in this kind of stuff, so that we can ultimately be in a position where people are aware of this, they know what to do. If it happens, let's address it early before there's a chance to build chronic disease in children. Mm-hmm. And then also, if it's already developed, let's turn it around. Mm-hmm. And then in a perfect world, we're teaching people how to optimize epigenetics. So then when people have their own children, they're actually passing on cleaner genes to the next 6 to 8 generations. And then this makes people so much more resilient as well. So then if these adverse childhood events happen to the next generation, their bodies are kind of like prepped and mm-hmm. healthier and can deal with it better. It may not whack them nearly as much.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will include a link to Dr. Bilstrom's website and his book. Where is your book available? Is it available on your website?
There, you can go to my website, and then you can access the Amazon to get it.
Awesome. So friends, I truly hope that you have enjoyed this episode. Your ability to heal your trauma and reclaim your health is 100% in your hands. You just have to grab it. Thank you, Dr. Billstrom, for joining me on the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
I did as well. Thank you so much, Emily, for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you resonated with what you heard, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and share it with a friend who would also benefit, because we rise together. Until next time, Mama, keep shining.